Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, Martha Nyla, your mic is open. Introduce yourself and a broadcast, and I'll handle it from there.
Yeah. Okay, my mic is open now. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I will be the next one to say something. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I pray my mic is not, my voice is not coming in fuzzy. I apologize too for that if it is. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, and tonight I'm going to start by just reminding us of 29, Enkabu, the spider, and Ayat 2, where we're reminded, do we think we can only say we believe and not be tested? Praise be to Almighty God. As conditions we always find ourselves in. But nonetheless, I want to topic for tonight with that preface is that last week was I Submit. And this week is it's along with I Submit. And we submit that we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey. Now, and with that, I'm thinking in my mind, everyone, of the work that is for all of us. I was speaking with a young man earlier today, and he was sharing his experience with friends, and then a quote-unquote Muslim friend. And he was sharing how the two friends were, well, they weren't in acting in the best behavioral representation. And I quickly said, that's a claim. And many times we find ourselves in that position where at a moment where we have to make a decision and we don't make the best decision, and then others have come to know us to be, quote-unquote, Muslim by our faith traditions. And I explained that, you know, we're all born with that of that pattern or that fashion and are fashioned upon the pattern. And then we, whatever label we go into as a religious affiliation, and that's that. But then there were times when all of us may step away from that, from the trueness of that affiliation or the identity, know that we should be connected, I mean, that we should express in our actions. And so I quickly said to him, no, they weren't being Muslim at that moment, from what he shared. And then he says, I got you. I understand. And that, you know, drew me to say, I hear and we hear and we obey. After I submit, we hear and we obey. So how does that look in our lives every day? In my experience in the last few months, beginning actually from the strategic planning of last September in 2022 with CWSC, much came to my mind about how we have our desires to do our best, but when we're thinking about doing our best, how it moves from our mind into action and how our actions interacting with others becomes an expression of am I doing what I say, and am I seeing that in others? And not from a judgmental point, but just from being connected. And so I'm thinking directly about community work. You know, when we leave our home and we plan to connect with others, a group, what organization, and then there is a mission that everyone that group is set upon, has set themselves upon, and there are principles that we individually live by, and as a group, then we collectively live by, and those principles are the same, but how we express it or how we identify ourselves in the public, based upon those, may differ, but nonetheless, we are of the same group. And as we look at the areas of education, how are we connecting with education? Can we make a difference? And if we can make a difference, how? Are we meeting with those that are of the school board? Are we hearing, reading their policies and procedures and understanding that they have what we call, quote unquote, the red tape that they have to follow? And then as we pay close attention, has the education system moved more into a disciplinarian system rather than an educating one? There are many teachers, I'm sure, that want to use what their skills, what knowledge they've gained, why they went to a university, a college, a university, and they acquired this knowledge to become an educator, that they know that every student has the blessedness within that they can share, but we have to pull it out. We have to help them understand how to best bring out what they have to offer to community, to their family, to community, and it becomes a self-identification because we then go on to make that be a part of our biography or of our resume. And that becomes our identity. But until we assess how we intend to help in the community or help build the community life, then there are those areas. So I mentioned education. Now, in economics, We are part of the economic stream, such as we are working and we are contributing through taxes to the various areas in the community, whether we know it or not. Our taxes are going to help help supply the budget for the city, but for the state. And even though they are board people that sit on the boards of those particular areas, such in the city, we have the council members or we're called district persons. Or then we, the county, we have the commissioners. Then the state, we have the governor and his board. So our taxes are under their budget, their oversight. And then, but we don't know that day by day. And when in our local areas where we live, if a pipe busts, you know, water pipe, if it busts, or a sewer line, if it busts, or lights go out, if they, you know, get damaged some kind of a way, or if there are animals running loose and causing harm to, you know, children and elderly and whoever gets in their way, and they are in a, you know, a mode of sometimes what we call that very, well, where they will bite you, rabies. We used to call it a dog, you know, walking around and he was rabies. Then we all kind of get fearful, and then we wonder what we should do. Well, there are local services that take care of that, you know, to help the safety, secure the citizens that live in the area. So there are many services, but when we don't, when we just think that we have our bills to pay, and then if we don't have the money to pay certain bills, then that we don't think about the services that we're already paying into. And this is the economic stream that we are part of in our city, in our county, and in our state. And that makes us the whole country, wherever we live, in the United States is what I'm referring to right now. So in all of that, we then we look at governance, and that includes our voting. Who we are voting for, why we're voting for them, what do we expect from them? And if we ask those questions before the voting period comes, then we're being educated. And then we're understanding that we have a responsibility. We can't, I mean, it's not best that we wait until something happens and then we call on our senators and representatives to speak in our behalf or condemn them because they haven't done certain things. And then we wonder why certain people, we, I'm speaking of the general population, wonder why certain people get the ear of the senators or the representatives. And they get the ear because right along after they, the persons have been elected into office, there are city or community individuals that are regularly visiting their representatives, sending letters to their senators, expressing whether it's out of ignorance they express certain things, but they become knowledgeable because they ask questions. And that includes our judges. You know, in our neighborhood association, judges can visit your neighborhood association meetings, and they can answer questions as long as it doesn't deal with anything that they may be handling in court. But we can get the general knowledge of their expertise. And that ranges from the traffic court judges to the criminal case judges. So we utilize understanding how this community might is not just going to work, living in our own home, attending our religious center, and then that routine every day, you know, routine keeps up. No, we have the other their areas that need our attention in order to say we have community life. And then our children see that our working, our being active participants, then it becomes, they become more knowledgeable because they hear the conversations and perhaps we take them to those meetings and we have them engaged from their age group, having those kind of discussions. I know in schools, some schools, they have the government body that actually have those kind of discussions, and debates. So there's a lot we have to pay attention to for those of us who haven't been paying attention to it and the others who have been engaged in the civic matters in their community. Last but not least, sociocultural is how we get along down the you know, sometimes you find that individuals go to a neighbor perhaps is encroaching on their property and probably has, I apologize, and probably has put a fence up that that caused a problem, and then they want it moved, and then a debate goes on, or a verbal fight goes on, and one thing leads to another. Now, that's just with, you know, property. But then we have a nuisance in our yard. That's a nuisance to the beautification of the community. What do we do? You know, some neighbors will not even say a word about it. Other neighbors will complain at an association meeting. And then they use the, let the president of the neighborhood association have the city send a letter out to the particular resident that has the nuisance in their yard, rather than trying to handle it themselves. Because that way it keeps down, you know, unnecessary emotion being disturbed, people being disturbed by a conflict between two neighbors, or the entire neighborhood probably looking at that one resident wherein they're saying, that's a sore fight in our neighborhood. What are we going to do about it? You know, maybe they have a vehicle that's been parked for a long time and they expect the person to move it or find out what the person intends to do with it to make it become operable. And can you help? Can the neighbors help it become operable? They don't know if the person has an illness and they just can't take care of it. So sometimes, and then their homes may need to be painted. Well, if that is brought to the attention of the city, some cities, they have a team, ours in St. Petersburg is called the N team. They go around and they'll make an assessment. If a person is unable to take care of certain things, they will do the outside work without costing the citizen anything. It's just an assistance that they offer. And then other things, you know, if they don't have fire extinguishers in their home, or they don't have the alarm system for the fire. I can't think of the name of it right now. But the thing that will notify, start sounding if it gets too hot in the house or something, or, you know, a fire breaks out. Then there are so many, there's so many things that we can really get into being more alert or aware of. And it will become a benefit to our community. So, as I say, we hear and we obey. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to share with that, please press 1. And I'm thankful for tonight when Ma'am Corrine had me actually calling me. I'm here on the transit, moving from one location to another, to be at the airport to return to Florida, as I've been on an official CWSC visit. Various matches. I attended the shop in Mount Vernon, New York, along with my brother William Corrine and his assistant, and then to the Queens Museum, where this is the Encina Knight displayed and talked about a lot of the history of the Nation of Islam. Not only talked about it, but had connections with others. Our brother Bilal Hassan with the University of New York, there or Philadelphia. Either way, he worked with Mujahideen and Samasha. And along with our brother Lester Muhammad, they brought out many displays, original pictures and everything from journals, from Jalalia News, information that really served as a museum article or caricatures that portrayed the history of the Nation of Islam on into the leadership of the memoirs be Mohammed, and in Singha Knight, she is a twin, and she, an instructor, means attended the Clara Muhammad School, along with Lesser Muhammad spoke of his son having attended the Clara Muhammad School. And so it was very insightful, very connected with community at the event, and I was able to go there and participate. Praise be to Almighty God. And they had the little tiny bean pies, of course. It was very flavorful. And then today I attended Jumu'ah at Masjidawa, where Rahima Reed Abdullah attends. I don't know her husband's name, but anyway, she wasn't present today, but she's on a trip but everybody up there, just as Rahima is, everyone, as soon as I walked up to the door, they said, come on in, sister. I came in, and I was greeted, and shown where the facilities were, both many Hindu parents and Juma, and then it's beautiful internal presentation and, setup. They have it where they have seats for those who are coming to visit and find out more about Al-Islam and then area for those who are on the floor, the women. The women can sit right behind the men, and then there's an elevated area just behind the women there, which has a plexiglass. But it's just about 4 feet, well, 2 feet of plexiglass, just halfway, just to give, some beautification, I don't know, but it's clear. And the imam is there, and everything is lovely. And then you have sisters, and now I'm saying standing on post, but not necessarily standing on post as much as they're there for assistance. Assistance if you should need them. And it made it very friendly oriented, knowing that, and security oriented as well, because one of the Muslim brothers told me that security, you can leave your things anywhere you want. He said, we have many cameras around inside, and he was part of security and low key, and they were very, very helpful. And then the meal that was served after, there's a whole big area that has set aside for vendors on a regular basis. And then you line up for your meal. You have different vendors that have their drinks that they make naturally. You have vendors of clothing, different kind of clothing, from socks on up to, the scarves and the dresses, or any clothing for male and female. And today's meal, what I got was they had a chicken breast and stuffing on top, and then they had yams. I love yams. And it had the broccoli. You had the choice of the broccoli or the green beans. And then from the chicken breast with the stuffing or fried fish. So I chose the stuffing, and it's very tasty. Very tasty. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even eat it all. And then from there, I was able to call Lyft and get right over to the subway. And now I'm en route to, as I said, to LaGuardia to be there so that I will be able to not miss my plane back to Florida. The weather is changing here, needless to say. So it has really been a treasurable trip, as I'm going to continue and make a final report in writing and press on air as well in December, inshallah, especially during our telethon time. Everyone will be, PWSC will be sharing with you what has transpired in their leadership area connected with the intelligentsia, inshallah. So right now, Imam, very heavy. I appreciate it. We can take a pause for the cause. Again, I apologize if my voice is coming in any kind of way less than excellent. The medium that I'm using, my cell phone here. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, we'll pause now for a public service announcement. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hassan.
You know, probably everyone listening to this message knows someone who's been touched by cancer either directly or indirectly. There are different types of cancers such as breast, prostate, and colon cancers. Some ethnic groups are at a higher risk for certain cancers. For example, did you know African-American women are 20 to 40% more likely to die from breast cancer, or that Hispanic-Americans are less likely to get screened for colon cancer than either Caucasians or African-Americans? And African-American men are approximately 70% more likely to develop prostate cancer in their lifetime than Caucasians or Hispanic men. And the risk increases with age. So whatever your gender or ethnicity, check with your medical provider about your health risk factors and appropriate screening by age, ethnicity, and family history. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. You will need your health to help remake the world. A public service message from American Muslim 360 and the CWSC.
We don't run from challenges. We overcome any obstacle. We don't cower in the face of can't or too difficult. We find a way to make it happen through faith, work, and the power of the good internet. Don't seek results that are just ordinary, because a believer is supposed to be extraordinary. Who are we? We are the volunteers of the CWSC, ready, willing, and able to lend to the Creator a loan that will be added to and multiplied many times over. Think you have what it takes to be a CWSC volunteer? Then register with the NCNRD. Your talent, experience, and knowledge. Want to learn more? Visit CWSC.us. Look for the NCNRD today, and you too can help unleash and harness the power of the group intellect. And together, we can remake the world. This has been a public service announcement from Imam Abdul Hakim Abdullah, American Muslim 360 Radio, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. As-salamu alaykum.
And we are back, Martha, we are back, and I see we have a hand raised. Martha Nyla?
Okay.
Walaikum as-salam. I believe Sister Depreta has raised her hand. She wants to lend her thoughts, if you would. Are you ready now?
Martha? Are they on mute? They went away?
Her hand is still raised. I won't open up her mic until you say that it's fine to do so.
Okay, I'm apologize. I'm hearing staticky from my phone, but I'm taking it. You're saying there's no one in the queue now?
No, there is, Sister.
Oh, okay. Yes, please follow me.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, Depreta. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam to you, Imam Kareem Hamid, and to you, to you, my dear Martha Nyla, and to the AM 360 family, and this is Depreta Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan, and first listening to you, Martha Nyla, I couldn't hardly make out there was some distortion in your speaking, but I heard very clearly. The PSA, the MCNRD PSA, was that you, Imam Kareem?
Yes, it was.
Oh my goodness, I'm just.
Wait a minute.
So high tech.
Can you hear me? That was not.
I can hear you.
All right. That was not me speaking. That was
I call it
no.
Give me a question. I was just changing my phone to where I could hear you better.
Oh, okay. You say that was not you. You know I was mistaken you once before for another song or something, Imam Kareem Hamid. You know, you got that voice, and that sure sounded like you, but it was excellent and so, so on top. I mean, I get the words right now just hearing it. I'm like, oh, alhamdulillah, that's just what we need.
Yes, ma'am. Very encouraging words. That was the past CEO of American Muslim 360, Imam, his name is escaping me now.
Hakeem.
Yes, Imam Abdul Hakeem. May Allah grant him the highest station in the paradise and bestow our mercy upon him.
What?
I mean.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that. Oh, I didn't even recognize his voice. Oh, my goodness, that was so wonderful. That's just what we need. So now, Martha Nyla, I'm hearing you a little bit better now, and I'm here.
Oh, great.
And I had some, my son, he was like, Mama, well, I went on. I said, I know, baby, but it'll be on. Just keep trying, because she's traveling. She's traveling. I said, she's traveling, so she's well. Excuse, but then Imam Kareem Hamid, he stepped in because I'm not at my board or anything. I'm out too, but I'm trying to make it on in here now, though.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, sis.
Yes, ma'am, and you're more than welcome. Safe travels home.
Yes, and it shouldn't take too much longer. I mean, well, I don't leave until early in the morning, but I want to be at the airport. I'm just a people person, nosy body. So, yeah, everyone, you can pretty much tell how that goes when you're out and about and just meeting and greeting.
Yes, ma'am. All right, then, my sweet. I'm right here listening, and if I should have anything else, you know, I'll definitely – press one and come back in.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. All right. Thank you. And now that if you're hearing me clearer, yes, ma'am. Okay. Everyone, I pray you can hear me better. And inshallah, I won't restate everything, but it had to do with we hear and we obey. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of us to be servants of Almighty God by being in service to humanity, and that includes ourselves, treating ourselves right, and then looking at the various areas where we live and knowing that those budgets, I was speaking about the budgets that are with our city, with our counties, and with our states, and how those budgets are applied. Yes.
Yes, we have three more callers on the line.
Okay.
I opened their mic when you're ready.
Okay, alhamdulillah, shukran.
Erica, 321-917, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Imam and Sister Martha, you're the traveler.
Alaikum assalam.
I had a question. I was listening to your comments about the layout of the Philadelphia Masjid. I'm doing a survey on the vending at the masjid facilities around the state, and wanted to find out how do they set the vending up. I heard you said they had an area for vending, but how does that do you compensate the masjid for the space, or what did you manage to find out how that works economically for the benefit of the masjid or the persons who are vending? What do they pay, et cetera, et cetera?
No, I didn't, but I think Rahima spoke to that once before, if I'm not mistaken, that the vending, I don't know whether they pay a monthly amount, because there's this area that they're located, like the masjid itself is huge, and that area is, I mean, it's just like,
I'd like to find out that as well as, sorry to interrupt, but I'd like to find out that information for me. Maybe I can get it from Rahima. You could get it for me if you would. But I'm also interested in the Tampa, the Tampa Masjid. I know they do vending there. And I just want to do a survey of the vending procedures for the masjid located around the state, inshallah. And also around the United States, our facilities.
Well, I'm the Northeast person, checking out the Northeast, so I will definitely get the Northeast information for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And have a great
trip. I say Northeast. I meant the
job.
East Coast, man. I meant the East Coast, not just the Northeast. I've gotten so stuck up here. Yes.
Whatever you can help me with, I appreciate it. And continue your work. You're doing a great job. I don't want to keep you on too long. We got other callers. So just wanted to mention that.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Okay, error code 347336. This may be Mahasan, I'm not sure. 347336. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Community Development of State.
Well,
alaikum assalam. Alaikum assalam to you, Mahasan.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Imam Kareem, for opening my mic. And I just finished with a conversation, opportunity to do shura with another thought leader in our community, and realized that you should be well into the developmental stages programs, Mr. Marta. So I was fascinated when I came on with your account of a journey or an event that you were attending. And am I hearing right that occurred in Philadelphia?
Yes, ma'am. In Philadelphia, first it was in New York with William Kareem, and he attended Masjid Shabazz, and then we both attended Masjid Yusuf Shah, and then we attended the Queens Museum for an event. And then I went to Philly, and that's where I went to Masjid Allah today.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I've had an opportunity to visit there as a member of the Jewels of Islam, and it's a beautiful, outstanding environment. So I appreciate the excitement with which you were sharing the details of your journey, and just want to commend you for creating a journey for our audience here at AM 360. In the comfort of their homes, they can share the same experience of getting to know our community on your travel journey as a uniting force. It was very like Sister Duprita was saying. I was so enjoying the PSA by Imam Abdul Hakim. May Allah be pleased with him and give him a high station in paradise, and the contribution that he made as CEO in the evolution of AM 360 and CWSD. The questions are very provocative about volunteer response that he was asking. So I just wanted to say to the listeners that as a longtime volunteer for AM 360, former and present hosts of programs that have benefited raising the status of AM 360 as the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, it's been a beautiful journey. And you continue to make it so. And so, inshallah, it will guarantee us an inspiration to see if we can increase the amount of service to humanity that we are able to give, both as individuals as well as the group effort, the group intellect, the group intelligentsia. Sister Duprita was talking about MCNRD Rise. So thank you so much. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And I must say thank you too for your closeness and your ever so mercifully watching over, and I'm saying about AM 360, constructive critiquing It's only bringing about more value and excellence to the broadcasting. Alhamdulillah.
But that's the intention. I was grateful for your invitation to stand in that position of having a perusal, an eye of analysis. I think I see your point in the value of that. It's something that is so much a natural component of my mother's development of observational skills in us as we were growing as children. But I'm glad that there's a value, a progressive value, for the development of AM 360 and the work that CWSC is formulated to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All righty, ma'am. I think you're on mute, Imam. Was there one more?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, is that? Okay,
no,
alhamdulillah.
There was.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Sister Martha.
Okay. All right. Thank you so very much. Everyone, I just want to now speak on, I won't be, after this particular comment or session of comments that I'm going to share with you, then, Imam, if it's okay with you that we share then the latter part on from Imam Warsi Muhammad, whatever selection you choose, inshallah. Everyone, I'm thanking you right now and for your obliging me the time to not finish out with the community buzz or whatever is happening in your area. If you want to share that, you're open to do that before the Imam shares the commentary from Imam Warsi Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. But I'd like to share on for tomorrow, for those who will be here with us from 3 to 5 p.m. for the honoring of the CWSC Intelligentsia Directors. Today we presented the bio this morning on CWSC Friday Roundtable, if you want to go back and listen to that, for the leadership of CWSC, the directors, the board of directors. And we're having an honor, giving honor to, I said, the intelligentsia directors, the ones that's over the components of CWSC. We have we have 13 components, two components we don't have a director of yet. That's the bookstore and the learning lab. We were holding the learning Naima Shaheed. But inshallah, if anyone is interested in being the director of the Learning Lab, the information is on the website, and then you develop your policies and procedures, and you connect with the executive committee of the board of directors. First, you come to the board of directors and share with us your insight, your passion for developing a learning lab, the learning lab, a process for anyone who wants to present a learning lab. You become the director. But on to the intelligentsia directors for tomorrow in their honor. That's from 3 to 5, and we will share much of on the Zoom and on AM 360, much of what we have to share. It will be some of the administrative documents, but we won't go into deep detail. We'll just let you know that these are our core principles, and then our bylaws, just a little briefing of the bylaws, and then and more of our administrative documents. And then we will go into presenting the area that our directors are. So if it's the MCNRD, then we will read off what the MCNRD is about, and then our director will come on and we introduce them and we have their bios, and then they will share with some comments about their volunteering in their area of the expertise that they have to share, and some words of wisdom perhaps to us. And I'm sure they're going to vouch for wants to help anyone to be able to help them in their process of developing more about the area that they're with, where the policies and procedures will come forth. And then they will be advising what they expect from anyone who wants to connect with them. So praise be to Almighty God for that. And if you have any questions, you'll be able to, inshallah, make comments. At the time, of course, being that we have 10 volunteers, and that means we'll be reading off from 11 areas, because two of our individuals, such as Imam Abdullah Aziz, is of two of the intelligentsia, that's the National Leadership Advisory Council, and ambassadors. And then William Kareem is of Leadership Development Council and internship. So we will read both of those areas off, and then they will share, inshallah, after we read their bio. So that's the expectation for tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, we do have staff persons such as Mahasan. You just heard from Mahasan Abdul Salam, but we're going to separate that special time for highlighting those who are volunteering as advisors and in other areas of staff for CWSC. So, inshallah, we didn't want to cast, we just want the specialty given to every area that we have. So this morning was the board of directors. Then tomorrow will be for the directors for the intelligentsia. And then we will look forward to the advisors that have been connected with CWSC ongoing. And then AM360 is going to be having an acknowledgement and honoring of the various, all the hosts at different times, interviewing them throughout the year. And then I know they're going to be looking forward to a special time where all of the hosts will be acknowledged. But that's to come about. We'll leave that for the CEO and the senior management team to discuss and share with us. So, inshallah, and I'll let you know that every Wednesday we are the executive committee. That's Dr. Aisha Kareem, Imam Omar Shakir, and myself. We make ourselves available at 7 p.m. for every director who wants to call in, make their report, and keep us abreast of what they're doing, how they're going, how everything is going about, and if what help we can give to their the process that they are designing for their area. We come on at 6:30 for ourselves, the executive committee. That's Eastern Standard Time, p.m., and we discuss things that we have on our list, such as the looking at the institutions and more applicable to Al-Islam proper, and meaning in the areas of education, economic, sociocultural, and governance, and in journalism as well. We are also connecting with the imam intentionally throughout the country. Part of my travel is, this is an intentional meet and greet. And after we meet and greet, then we will develop some type of collaboration on an ongoing basis. And one example is our medium connection that AM360 is going to be getting more involved with. But that's with medium. It's not necessarily with the imam. Through the imams, you will hear more about our volunteer human resource network. Our director is Sister Patricia Nima Mohammed, who's married with, her husband is Prince Mohammed. I call them the tag team. They're of Trenton, New Jersey. And you'll be hearing direct public service announcements that will connect her as a social worker. She's a certified social worker to the and to individuals that are in the masjid, in the communities that are in need of services but don't know how to connect for those services. So, inshallah, you'll be hearing more about that. But I'll stop right there. Thank you, everyone, for your patience, and thank you for your obliging me this time to step away. Inshallah, we'll connect more next week, but tomorrow first, all right? Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, love you much. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Imam Kareem Shamid, a bunch.
Praise to Allah. Yes, we are grateful for your leadership, Martha. Praise be to Allah for you. Alhamdulillah. Yes, I'm going to share an address by Imam Wahid Muhammad Mahinallah Lehi, which will close out the broadcast. But prior to doing that, I want to share an important public service announcement. Tomorrow, it is an announcement of an upcoming program tomorrow on American Muslim 360, being promptly moved to the address of Imam Wahid Muhammad, inshallah. So I ask you, don't touch that dot. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. This is yours truly talking here. Oh, praise be to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Wahid Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Wahid Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. And in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Wahid Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Oh, okay. We'll now share an address with you from my beloved Imam Wahid Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. The subject matter is Leadership in the Name of God, Part 1. May we all benefit from the hearing.
He met with Pope John Paul II at the Vatican in 1996. And participated in the National Prayer Service celebrating the second inauguration of U.S. President Bill Clinton. He was the first Muslim to deliver an invocation on the floor of the U.S. Senate and delivered the first address by a Muslim on the floor of the Georgia State Legislature. Imam Muhammad now directs the mosque's cares. Commentators have said of him, the message of Islam delivered by him for more than 30 years to persons of every race, sex, and class has been a quiet yet resolute factor for increased tolerance, understanding, and cooperation between Americans of different ethnic and religious backgrounds, the author of several books, the host of a television program and a nationally syndicated radio program. He is a member of the prestigious World Council of Mosques, the Peace Council, and has served as the International President of the World Conference of Religion and Peace. And as a young man born and raised in this community, I remember in 1977, Imam Muhammad gave a speech called The Need for Leadership, and he said, what America needs is moral leadership, and I am about to make my contribution. I'm going to tell you one thing recently that happened that was very impactful, just to share with you the importance of the clear expression of Islam and human nature that Imam Muhammad has given us. Recently in Houston, there was a very famous or very popular artist who's actually a rap music artist. He goes by the name of Scarface, but he told me he wants to change his name because he was studying Islam, and I gave him a CD of Imam W.D. Muhammad on Thursday this week. He came to Jumu'ah yesterday. He said, I love this man. Thank you very much for this CD. And he's ready to take Shahada and become a Muslim. So thank you, Imam W.D. Muhammad, for 30 years of leadership, dedicated leadership that has led us all to be more intelligent and contributed human beings. And at this time, Imam W.D. Muhammad, our leader and teacher. Takbir! Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. We witness that God is one, the Lord, sustainer, keeper of the universe, cares about all of his creation, and especially the models of human life for us, the prophets, upon them be peace. And as it is our tradition, we witness that God is one, and we witness that Muhammad is the last prophet, his servant and his messenger. Upon him be the prayers and the peace and what follows of that traditional salute to the last prophet. I'm very happy to be here again for this last day program. And I'm happy, very happy and pleased with the success that we are enjoying because of the hard work of our committees, the big committee, the general committee, and also the executive committee, and Brother Rafa, who has chaired that committee and have done a marvelous job. We appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. I have in my hand a letter to me from our guest speaker, who would have also spoke last night at our banquet, the beautiful banquet we had last night. Yes, beautiful banquet. Beautiful entertainment. That jazz group, when I was a teenager, the popular dance was bebop. The popular music was jazz. Jazz. Teenagers, they knew the jazz artists. And jazz somehow helped us keep our intelligence. This, what they're listening to now, is against intelligence. It's not helping us at all. The popular music of this time, of today, the music got worse and worse for the mind as time progressed. This letter that I received from our second invited guest speaker for the banquet last night, I want to share it with you. My dear Imam, this is from Dr. and also Father Harding. He is the president of the university in Indianapolis, that was founded by him. And that's Martin University. This letter reads, in the name of Allah. I'm reading it just as he wrote it, in the name of Allah. And if I wrote him, I would say, in the name of God. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. It is with sincerest and deepest regret that I shall not be able to be with you on September 2nd, 2006, for it is a great honor to have been asked to be a guest speaker at the convention. My work as president of Martin University and my stepping aside next year has been overwhelming. This has been a test of my life, but I am a spirit warrior, and I know that with the grace of Allah, I will survive. I am so honored to be your friend and to call myself a Christian, Imam. I hope this is not presumptuous, but that is what I am. I have very great reverence for my brothers and sisters of Islam, especially Imam Michael Sahir, or Mikhail Sahir in Arabic, Muhammad Siddiq, and David Shaheed. He's Judge David Shaheed. We know him very well. David Shaheed and their families. I hope you will forgive my lack of presence with you on September the 2nd, 2006, but I know I will be with you in spirit. In the name of the most gracious and beneficent one, I am your friend, Reverend Father Boniface Harden. I want to share that with you. I also received, just a few days ago, this letter from Muslim World League Secretary General Office, Mecca al-Mukarramah, that is Honorable Noble Mecca al-Mukarramah, the city of Mecca, holy city of Mecca for Muslims, Department of Cultural Affairs. Honorable Excellency, Waris-ud-Din Muhammad, Member, World Supreme Council of Mosques, USA. Dear brother in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and that means in the mercy of God. The Secretariat General of the Muslim World League, based in Mecca al-Mukarramah, has the pleasure of presenting its best compliments to you and would like to inform you that the First World Forum of Muslim Scholars and Intellectuals on the Unity of Muslim Ummah is the international community of Muslims, organized in Mecca al-Mukarramah between 1st and the 7th of Rabi al-Awwal, that's the Islamic name of the month, 1427 Hijra, that's also the calendar, the Islamic calendar, corresponding to 30th of March through 4th of April 2006, has issued the following four documents. And he goes on to give us the documents. Since I mentioned went that far, I will read these items, these document items. Final communique of the First World Forum for Muslim Scholars and Intellectuals. Item 2, Islamic Covenant for Common Action. Item 3, final communique of the General Assembly of the High Coordination Committee of Islamic Organizations, and 4, final communique of media meeting on impact of Islamic media in achieving Muslim unity. We are enclosing herewith 4 copies of the said documents, hoping that you will make your level best to implement possible aspects of them with the concerned bodies. We supplicate Almighty God to grant all to whatever serves Islam and Muslims. And then he signed, then this signed off, Secretary General of the Muslim World League, Muslim World League. And that's Abdullah El-Turki, Abdul Muhsin, Ibn, son of, Abdullah, son of Abdul Muhsin El-Turki. I think most of you know that I have been a member of the Supreme Council of Masjid is the plural for mosque, for a good number of years. And though I was unable to attend this meeting, I was invited as a scholar. They invited me as a scholar. I don't claim to anything. I don't claim to be a scholar. But they invited me as a scholar to attend this meeting, and I really wanted to be there, but God didn't open the way for me to be there. God didn't open a way for me to be there. I had problems and I couldn't go there, difficulties for travel and some other difficulties too at home, so I couldn't be present. I really wanted to be present because they invited me as well to present a paper on Muslim unity. And that's my cup of tea, you know. It would have been very easy for me to present a very excellent paper to them on Muslim unity that I think would have benefited them a lot. But don't think they don't get some of what I'm saying in the United States on Muslim unity. I don't send it to them, but they have their way of getting it. They know me very well, and they keep up with me. So much for that. Allahu Akbar. Yes. We are struggling and working, and our spirit is getting stronger and stronger, and our results is getting more beautiful and bigger. And we have our friends, the folklore, members of the folklore movement here, and I want to tell you what I know. They pray for the success of our good works. And I know that their prayers have really helped. We thank God for your prayers. And not just in a spiritual way. See this nice looking suit here? Italian made in an Italian factory. And the good price we are getting, I know something happened in heaven because of your prayers. Thank you so much. But we have a lot going for ourselves too. And we'll never give up. Never give up. We have a purpose. We have a goal. We have a mighty cause. And we will never give up. So I saw a little word that caught my eye in our newspaper, and the expression was convention nears. Convention nears. Not the first time I heard that kind of language or saw it, you know. Convention nears. And it was publishing this weekend program. And the language convention nears. So I said, convention nears? When I was a boy, I loved the Three Musketeers. So who are these conventioneers? So I got a little bump and said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Press hard upon Sam. His spirit will surge. Conventioneers and musketeers. Putting our life on the line for the poor robbed of their mind. Thank you, my brother. We leaders who lead in the name of God. When you lead in the name of God, you have done something very, very serious. Very serious. You're accountable to God. And if you're not sincere, you're going to pay a big price one day for being a fake, a phony. And we got too many phonies among the religious leaders. Yes, Muslims too. I don't know who you're thinking about, but Muslims too. Too many phonies. Our guest speaker at the banquet last night. Oh, she was so good for everybody. Dr. Oliver, I know you wanted to come back next year or sometime. I know you do. Yes. A wonderful, down-to-earth, very intelligent, wise woman. Yes, and a model Christian. A model Christian. I studied the Bible. I know what Christians should have as authority in their life, and I know what should be influencing their lifestyles and their behavior at home and abroad. I know that because I read the Bible too. I think I'm more aware of the Bible than the majority of the Christians. I'm aware of what's in the Bible, more than the majority of the Christians, because the majority of the Christians, especially in the West, in the United States of America, they're just like the majority of the Muslims. They say they're Muslims, but they don't know their Quran. They don't know their holy book. And the same for the Christians. They don't know their Bible. And that's why we see the bad behavior we see in the neighborhoods. That's the main reason for it. Life is developmental. And developmental means it progresses by stages. There's progress for first stage, progress for second stage. It progresses by stages. And when it's not progressing, progressing means if you have more life, your moral life should get better. Your moral senses should get stronger. Your intelligence should grow. That's progressing. That's how God made us. He made all life developmental. So you should grow. The simplest life you can think of, it becomes bigger. It grows by stages. It becomes more complex as it lives. And our religions tell us that a parable of our own life is a parable of plant life that we can see. You plant a seed, the seed is a dead thing, not living. But you plant it in the right circumstances or environment, it becomes a living thing, and it opens up and shows what was locked up in itself. Locked up in that small, dead thing was a beautiful life. And it's freed from that cell, that prison cell, the dead seed. It's freed, and it comes up a beautiful life. Our food from grain, appearing to be dead. Corn, tomatoes, wheat, whatever it is. And all the life that God has made serves a purpose. Serves a purpose. The grass, we take it for granted. But the grass does not only give us beautiful sight for the front yard and the backyard or wherever you put it, the golf course. The grass, if you let it grow, it makes a cushion for the small living things that have to survive on the earth. Ants and many other small creatures crawling about and crawling in and out of the soil. The grass give a cushion, so when the cow steps on it or you step on it, they have a cushion to protect them from being squashed or killed. Grass, wheatgrass especially, it reveals its origin. Its origin is a small seed that appears to be dead. So it grows up, and the last thing it gives you is the seed at the top. It shows you its beginning. And it holds its original beginning up high. Huh? Up high. If man be like this, the prophets are like this, the prophets of the scriptures, they had this kind of thinking, and they identified with developmental growth into better form, bigger form, and more enriched form. And then they saw that God wanted them to give back as these plants give back. They give back, and they give more than what they originally had. They had one seed, they give back many seeds. And some bear fruit so beautiful, flowers so beautiful, and others bear that is food for us on our table, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, through and all until Sunday, and over again, they give us food. So we should also be developmental in our life and our progress should move from stage to stage, and we should not be so selfish that we don't share our life and give something of our life to those that are in our environment, and especially to the small and the weak who will be crushed by the foot of the cow or a man. I have to speak also to our people here, the African Americans, because that's what we are. We are black from the mother continent, Africa. We're African Americans. African Americans are going away from a painful, growing away from a painful memory of slavery, segregation, and KKK fashion terrorism. However, without the moral courage to support justice, when justice is also against us, African Americans, the spirit is easily fueled by fire, gin spirit. If we don't have our minds right, we will be burned up in these fires, remembering the bad times. Scars not healed can flare up when pressure is put on us a bit. Recently, our friend Andy, U.S. Representative to the United Nations, former mayor of Georgia, he made news. And I'm sure he didn't want to make that news. Our typical religious leaders, our popular politicians, too many African Americans do not support justice when justice is against us, African Americans against blacks. Our friend Andy was coming from a painful memory. About 100 years passed in Charleston, South Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, African Americans in other parts as well of these United States had growing business life. About 50 years past, a tough luck remnant of diehard survivors were bulldozed and buried more than 6 feet under by a system of expressways. We had dry cleaners, drugstores, groceries in Chicago. Dry cleaners, drugstores, groceries, and meat markets, barber shops, beauty salons, tailor shops, shoe repair shops, restaurants, and auto mechanics, livery cabs, and jitneys, going from 31st, and it was called South Park, now King Drive, to 63rd, going through most of the densely populated section of Chicago on the south side for our people. We had our own cab service. We could go to South Park, take that cab, and go to South Center department store that one of our members of the community, African American Christian, bought from the whites. Mr. Fuller, you from Chicago, you might remember this. You might remember what I'm saying of Chicago. Mr. Fuller, he opened a department store. It was great, great pride for us. It lifted our soul and our spirit to get in a cab, on a cab line, on a street where only our men were driving cabs, nobody else. And we could go from 61st, where I live, or wherever you lived on the south side, you could get to South Parkway, and you could get in a jitney cab operated or owned by at least an African American owned it. Whether the driver owned it or not, I don't know that whether the driver owned every. No, I don't think so. But the cab line was owned by African American, and you could get in that cab and go to where you wanted to go in the densely populated section of the south side. And from South Park, you would then catch a streetcar. They had streetcars back then, and later buses, a streetcar bus, and go east and west. But you could go north and south using the African-American jitney cab line. These businesses, as Andy spoke, he's a nice friend. I met him, personal friend. I spent some time with him on more than one occasion. As Andy spoke, were mostly mom and pop stores. That's what we call them, mom and pop stores. Not these big, massive, giant superstores that we have now, Walmart and others. They were small, much smaller. Koreans, Asians, Arabs, old comers and newcomers, they look at the property and the neighborhood that we ignore. They look at our dead business streets, and they come in with their frugal ways and give life to a dead community, business life to a community that's dead business-wise. Think on how much respect the quitters can expect. Quitters. We are quitters. What are we blaming it on? We are quitters. That's what we are. And when the newcomers come, that's what they see us as. Quitters. So how much respect you think we're going to get from them looking at us and knowing we're quitters? We have to change our spirit to have a change in our life for the better. Our spirit now is not to accept criticism. If one of our own kind criticizes us to help us, to get us to wake up and see our shortcomings so we can help ourselves better, we immediately become enraged and treat him as though he's racist. Or you're not a black brother. We have to change that. This public address is intended to give us a clear picture of ourselves that we need to look at, our collective behavior, and our inherent life that all of us have at birth when we come from our mothers. We come with the same human essence, the same human worth that every other people come into this world with. Most of the people of the book, that's an expression from our holy book, referring to mainly Christians and Jews. Most of the people of the book, our Quran say, have not knowledge. And if you don't have knowledge, what can you expect from people if they don't have knowledge? The ignorant in the days before civilization, savages, who did not have the intelligence to better their condition until God saved them from their condition. Savages. If you right now would be told of a savage area existing on this planet today, and you'd be told, go there and help those people, you wouldn't be too quick to go and help them. You would fear for your life. You'd fear for your life. Now, I want to tell you that the KKK, they were savages. And if any of them are still living with that mind, they are savages. They don't have knowledge. They call themselves Christians, but they do not have knowledge of their book. If they did, it would change their way of thinking and behaving. They hold on to Scripture without knowledge. They have Scripture by faith only. The world's best known sacred scriptures are more about human society's beginning, mystical beginning. And also about predictions about how life will end. Life meaning community life. How the community life begins from the natural human life that the Creator gave us. It begins from that life. It grows from that life and upon that life. And how it will be concluded, how it will end. Conforming to man's God-given life for community and the behavior that man should have. That is what keeps life for the human family or for humanity. Favoring lifestyles that robs the community of life, robs the community of vital human character, and brings about the death of our communities, moral death, spiritual death, cultural death, material death. It's something that has taken us from progressing, from following developmental life to regressing and losing our progress. That our great leaders, our heroes, even during the time of slavery and after, from Frederick Douglass and even before Frederick Douglass, Nat Turner, John Brown, a white man, they thought he was crazy because he made great sacrifices to tell the world, especially America, that slavery is wicked and it has to be stopped. He was killed. And from Frederick Douglass to Dr. King, we've had all these wonderful leaders. And all of them wanted us to be God-fearing, and all of them wanted us to be of good moral character. So losing your good life, losing your good moral life is a big crime, especially when you look at the price that was paid to keep moral life in us. It's a big crime. It's a crime against the nature God created for you, but it's also a crime against all those wonderful heroes we had that were trying to lead us, who were deprived of community life by slavery, was trying to lead us to a noble, honorable, rich community life. Myths are in the way of progress. You don't know how much your life is governed by myth, by myth. Looking into myth and the nature of myth tells us a lot about the freedom that we have and the freedom that our great leaders hold precious. Now, still hold precious. Tells us a lot about that freedom, the freedom we enjoy in America. Once you've given freedom, to be responsible for it on your own, the freedom that manifests under your control may be poison, very detrimental to the freedom that was intended for you. The noble men who formed the ideas for this democracy, they didn't see freedom as the freedom to do anything you please, to even become nasty and indecent, or become criminal. That's not the freedom they worked for. That's not the freedom that they left to us. Freedom to them was the freedom of the thinkers, the freedom of the free thinkers. And their interest was freedom of the mind, freedom for the intelligence, freedom for the best that is in the soul of man. They wanted to be like a plant, to let come out of the dead body, the dead mind, the most precious things deposited in there by God, the Creator. They want to see that free. They didn't want the freedom that we have now. This freedom is destroying us, destroying our families, and destroying our community. A prophet, a great prophet, was asked by the strong oppressor who was ruling the land that he was in. Said, well, if you leave from me, or if I banish you from the land, what would you have? How would you survive? And the prophet answered him. The prophet said, the one who created me will guide me. The one who created me will guide me. The great thinkers, they studied human creation, and they got great guidance, insight into human creation, and they got great guidance from how human beings are constituted. And they used that guidance, they used that knowledge to improve upon the life and advance the life, progress the life, according to the will of God, or in accordance with the plan of God for human life. That's how people have come into great life, great comforts, great benefits. We have to return to the Scripture, and we have to follow the best of our religious leaders, the best of our religious leaders. The politicians of Chicago, they say you reward your friends and punish your enemies. We should reward our good leaders and punish our bad leaders. You punish them by not serving them. You punish them by not following them. It is believed that after man discovered language, he began to progress greatly. We shouldn't take language for granted. You shouldn't just speak any kind of way. You were created with a brain, the highest, the richest, most resourceful brain in creation. No animal, no insect, bird, whatever, have been given a brain like yours. The brain, our prophet said, prayers and peace be on him, Muhammad. He said God did not give creation anything more useful than the human brain. So when you love ignorance, you work against your precious brain. So you think of yourself maybe as uneducated. You think of yourself as poor. We all were born uneducated. And we all were born poor. But our human tools and our original human spirit made us turn to the best that we could find outside of ourselves and inside of ourselves. And we worked ourselves out of ignorance, and we worked ourselves out of poverty. Now this, you know, we don't believe in Darwin's theory. I studied his theory, and I know he was a thief. He stole information, or he was given it by others, and he didn't give God credit for it, and then he put it in his language that hides God, that hides God, the Creator. He put it in his language so that we would worship him. No, we didn't evolve from apes. We evolved from original, precious human life. And we become apes when we leave God. We can't forget the freedom road of our pioneers. There are many of them who paid a great price, the nature that God gave man, won't accept abuse, mistreatment, injustice. We naturally rise up against such. Nat Turner, he knew he would die. John Brown, he knew he would die. Frederick Douglass had a better opportunity. The abolitionists were working at the same time. Whites, and we have had whites all along since then, joining us and supporting us and risking their life to help us get attention and justice in this country. Many of us perhaps don't know Elijah Lovejoy, David Walker, but we know Sojourner Truth and the many others, and Dr. Martin Luther King, the last of our great freedom fighters. We know them. But do you know Elijah Muhammad was also a freedom fighter? We have so many little problems that become very big problems. We call ourselves the colored people. It was hard to get us to change from saying colored people and to say black. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he kept driving the point home, and it caught on. And Christians and all start calling ourselves black. Yes, proud that we are black. James Brown, the most dynamic performer I've ever seen. I met him after watching the show. Somebody said, "Do you want to meet him?" I said, "Yes, I'd like to meet him." So they took me backstage and I met him. So as soon as I met him, I just wanted to say, "Thank you, James Brown. Thank you, Mr. James Brown." So I said, "Look, I just want to say we really appreciate you for making us proud to be black." Because his song, you know, "Black and Proud, Black and Proud." Here's what he said to me. He looked at me like he was surprised to hear me speak that way. He said, "It was your father who inspired that in me." Yes, Elijah Muhammad. Now you who have been the name of Muslims and Islam for 40 and 50 and 60 years, you also have to thank Allah, thank God, for the teacher of my father, Mr. Farad. Because he gave us a strategy that would eventually make us give up the dead part of the life he gave us. See, when a seed is put in the ground, when life comes into it, the life comes out of the inside. And the dead part on the outside is left to go the way of death, eaten up by the earth. Or it falls down to the earth. Now some lift them up like grass, like wheatgrass, and the dead part will fall down to the earth eventually. And only the part that should live stays, S-T-A-Y-S, stays. Now, you know, if you read scripture, and I do have some scripture readers here, many. I'm looking at you. I know you. If you read scripture, then you should also understand that it's prophesied that the temple would not stand forever. The temple was built to fall. It was built to fall. But it was built to hold a message, the light, until the life could come up. And then the temple itself, as a material thing, falls to the ground. It must fall. Destroy this temple, and I will build it up in 3 days. Huh? That's prophecy, that's scripture. It's scripture of something that was said back then, but it's also a prophecy. Don't you know Mr. Farad understood that? He did. He understood that. And he built his temple not to stand forever, but to be destroyed. Oh, Wallace, that guy destroyed everything we had. No, I did not. I destroyed only what Mr. Farad wanted to die in time, to serve you for a while, hold you for a while, inspire you for a while, feed your life until you see that a lot of dead stuff is in this, and throw the dead stuff away. Praise be to Allah. You know, I was watching Channel 7, ABC, and came a commercial, Loyola University commercial, Catholic University, I'm sure most of you know. And they had the words, also treatment of the spirit. Now, they offer so many courses that you have to take if you want to finish college. But they say they also offer course for the treatment of the spirit. They ain't big enough to take all these Negroes, all these African Americans, all these niggers. Oh, he used the wrong word. What's wrong with nigger? It means the same thing that Negro means. The dumb Southern white supremacists, he learned that a lot of us, we came from Africa, so he found a place that was rich in culture at one time in history. Call N-I-G-E-R. But it's not pronounced nigger. It's pronounced Niger. Niger. Not nigger. So he started calling us, incorrectly pronouncing it, niggers. Nigger is a better word than Negro. Because Negro is just black. It does not take you back to a civilization and a culture. But Niger does. So you see, we have to wake up and straighten out our minds.
Now we don't want to be called Negroes. And I heard some Spanish people, they were standing on the side, and they saw a lot of us coming. I knew a little Spanish. And they said, Los Negroes. Those Negroes. That's what they said. They said, Los Negroes. And they were saying, those blacks. That's what they were saying. So Negro in Spanish just means black. That's what it means, black. Now I know the way you use a word gives it a meaning also. So the way the dumb white supremacists, and I keep calling them dumb, because that's the only way I can excuse him. He had to be dumb. He had to be uneducated. He had to be uncivilized. Okay, so being so dumb, he called you nigger, and the way he came, the spirit he came from, made you hate that word. So I understand how the word got the meaning that you hate. I understand that. But we need to rethink and research, because we are not doing much with our community life. And I believe this ignorance has to be seen firstly for us to come into a new mind and take charge. We have to qualify for freedom. To qualify for freedom and economic empowerment, the faithful must defeat this spirit to be nasty that is in us at home and in the streets. If it was just in the streets, it wouldn't be so bad. But that nasty spirit we have is in the home too. Regressive mind, shameful lifestyle, show-off spirit to show off, silly monkey nature, spirit to just have simple, foolish fun. We are being destroyed, people. We have been influenced into having tunnel vision. But we are not a community of cyclops. The cyclops have tunnel vision. The cyclops couldn't do much with their life. In myth, they have one eye right in the center of the forehead. One eye, not two, one eye. God revealed religion so we would take pride and cherish and value our creation, the human creation. And in our holy book says, see how he's given you two eyes, not one, two eyes. To see outside and inside. To see outside and inside. To see and question. To see and examine what you see. To see and investigate what you see. To see and dig into what you see. And that's how we become educated. And if we want to follow the professor or the teacher, we have to be guided into that understanding that you cannot learn by just looking on first sight, but you have to have a second sight to look into, not just on. Modern man's ignorance nukes his world. We still see the clothing. You're growing in dress. Clothing getting more popular, getting richer, more attractive. The buildings getting more attractive, more accommodating. The material just growing and growing. But what's inside? Nothing. And that's what the nuke bomb does. The nuke bomb takes away the life of people, but leaves the money standing. So the victor won't come to rubbish. The victor will get rid of you, but take over your material establishment. Well, just like the nuke will do that for towns with houses and everything and banks and big buildings and leave them all standing unharmed, the breath you're breathing from the poison cultural air is nuking you. Your physical body is still there, but the person we used to know is dead, gone, vanished, disappeared. I love these words of Maya Angelou. I saw them on a video of the movie Madea's Family Reunion. Madea's Family Reunion. I saw the movie and got these words. She says, the sun has come. The myth has gone. We see in the distance our long way home. Beautiful. So rich. When you connect what she's saying with us, African-American community, the African-American community. She said, the sun has come. God opened her mind. God gave her knowledge and insight. The myth has gone. The false pictures that once was reality in our mind.
Alhamdulillah, that was part one of the lecture entitled Leadership in the Name of God. We've only got about five minutes of broadcast time left, so I don't think we have enough time to share part two, if I could find part two. I looked for it and couldn't find it. But I want to invite you to tune in to American Muslim 360 tomorrow morning, inshallah, for the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created a purpose. We have established a study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. What we do is we will lend comment. We'll pause the lecture or address and discuss important segments of the lecture or the address from Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. And it is quite rewarding. It's one thing to hear an address all the way through, but I believe you gain more when you pause it and you reflect on certain principles that have been shared with us. If we were in the study session now, I would definitely take note of what Imam Muhammad has said to us in this address. I wrote down that this present generation, and this isn't everyone, but it's the prevailing circumstances, too many, that they have no respect for those that came before us. Have no respect for the price that was paid, the heavy cost that was going through, struggling for our, we always say freedom, but it was not just freedom. The freedom struggle, it was not, we put a lot of emphasis on freedom without truly understanding what freedom means and what comes with freedom. They were not just struggling for us to be physically free. No. There's a second part to what they were struggling for. They was, boy, who is this at my, hold on, please. Boy, well, no, I'll end it right here. And inshallah, I'll speak with you tomorrow. Inshallah.
Early in the morning, sailing and prayer, milk express fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my teeth, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck and off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough, can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and your children and your wife." Go back to cover, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful.
They
gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends.